You have the Eat Sleep Race Power Wheel that matches the all-motor car that Aaron owns.
To this day, I believe it is the world's fastest brush motor car. It does 31 miles an hour in the 60-foot. It'll go a 2-1 in just 60 feet. We're at the point now where it's like every little change we make, we're either going a little bit faster or way slower. I would say we're about 98% of the way topped out. I don't think there's really much more we can get out of it, but we still try every day to get that much little. The max speed he's going is 36 miles an hour.
Eat Sleep Race Podcast. We're back with a special guest today, Alex Teeter of Teeterbilt Racing, all the way from Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania to New Jersey, right?
Yes.
How far was it?
It was a two-hour drive.
Not too bad.
Nah, straight down the turnpike.
Teeterbilt Racing is most famous now for your Power Wheels racing.
Correct.
Which is amazing because Teeterbilt actually started off as a mechanic shop, correct?
Yes, correct.
So you went from wrenching on Hondas and anything under the moon to now modifying and building some of the fastest power wheels in the world.
Yeah.
So talk about that. Like, how'd you even get into power wheels racing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I drag raced my Honda. And then once I started having kids, you know, my son, bringing him to the track all the time, I had to get him. I wanted to get him started. I wanted to get him started young. He saw all the race cars at the track. He wanted a car just like his dad's. So I got a power wheel, painted it to make it look just like mine, and we started doing some just small town racing in our town of Oxford with just a few friends. We had maybe two or three kids out there.
Not modified yet.
No, not modified. Totally stock. The kids would just ride around, and they had a good time. And then we started throwing drill batteries on them, and that's when the kids started getting competitive. And then we started just taking it to the next level and getting a lot more parents and kids involved.
So you're not the first to modify Power Wheels.
No. We got the idea from the Central Ohio Power Wheel guys. They started it, I want to say, in 2015.
They were the first to modify Power Wheels, or they were the first to do drag racing with Power Wheels?
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're the first to modify, but that I know of, but I believe they are the first to host an actual Power Wheels drag race. And they do run them on a real track as well, which is pretty cool.
They use a real tree like you guys use?
Yep. Yeah, they use a real tree and they run on the track. It's just something a little different with our program is we have the tree, but it's mobile. So we can set it up anywhere, which is pretty cool.
And I want to say that was actually because of the Fast Kids Club, which is our brand dedicated to the next generation of racers. That's how we came across the Central Ohio Power Wheels group before I even knew of you.
Yeah.
Because the head of that group actually still posts on our Facebook group to this day. Every time they have a race, he posts his event coverage on there. So that was my first exposure to the Power Wheels racing. And then I believe that's how I found you guys, just because you started posting Trevor's car.
Yeah.
And tagging our page.
Yeah,
tagging. I was like, wait, you guys are local. You're not in Ohio.
Yeah, nah.
You're in Pennsylvania. So I hit you guys up, and that's how we got the conversation going maybe like 3 years ago.
Yeah, I want to say 3 or 4 years ago now.
Well, that has steamrolled into a DM conversation, into finally meeting each other. You have the Eat Sleep Race Power Wheel.
Yeah.
That matches the all-motor car that Aaron owns. So Trevor and her have the matching livery on their cars, which is kind of crazy. And then we escalated that, and you had this idea to get the drag racing tree. So we got you guys the drag racing tree, and it snowballed from there, right?
Yeah.
You did all the research to get the tree, to figure out the timing system, And now people all around the world are always sending us DMs saying, how do you do that?
Yeah, how do you do that? How do you build this tree? Where can we get the tree?
And now
you're
gatekeeping. And now Alex is gatekeeping because we've created something bigger than what we've ever expected it to be because these videos have been going viral.
Yeah.
And I don't think me or you ever expected the amount of views that these videos were going to get when we started recording these things.
Nah, not at all. Our intention was just to try and just gain more interest, just get more kids out there instead of it just being, you know, 10 or 12 kids. How about we have a 32 car field? How cool would that be? And then now look at us.
Yeah. And you guys started these races originally just in the back roads of Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
Like in behind your friend's shop or something.
Yeah, we were just doing a simple arm drop
and
on a back road.
Right?
Yeah, we had six cars out there. We would line up three, and the winner of each race would race for the finals. And that's what we would do.
And that's just a bunch of dads having fun.
Yeah, and that's all it was. It was just dads having fun, kids having fun. And we just were like, how can we just take this to the next level and get more racing?
Let's be honest. Are you dads building these cars to make your kids happy, or are you doing it for yourselves?
I would say a little bit of both.
I want to say probably 50-50,
yeah,
50-50, right?
50-50, you know.
Because as I meet a lot of new people who are now interested because they've seen our videos, hey, I want to build that. I've been getting the feeling a majority of them are like 90% they want to build it for themselves, and since they can't fit in it, they're gonna throw their kid in it.
Yeah, and it's a lot more affordable than a real race car, I tell you that.
And what I love about it, super competitive, and I've seen, especially after watching so many races, the evolution of these kids. Like,
oh, for sure,
the reaction times of some of these kids, especially your son Trevor, amazing.
Oh, it's incredible.
Like, these kids are cutting perfect .000 trees, like it's wild.
Yeah.
And the kids get it.
Yeah,
they're
totally
picking up on it. Like, you gotta leave right as soon as the third yellow comes on, before it turns green, you better hit. They're understanding their car's reaction to them hitting the pedal, and like, no, I can't hit it too late, I can't hit it too soon.
It's just like real, you know, it's real racing. I mean, we want to get them prepared for the next level. I truly believe anybody that comes out of our program and goes into junior dragsters or anything like that, they're going to be way ahead of the game. Just having all that seat time on the tree, because it's the same thing as the real tree on the track.
For me, it's crazy that you're calling it a program now, because this literally just started off as a bunch of dads just having a good time.
Exactly.
And this was, what, maybe 3 years ago that you guys were just messing around?
Yeah, it was at least, I would say 3 years ago, if not a little bit longer.
What is the fastest power wheel that you've ever created?
So the fastest power wheel we've ever done is my son Trevor's car, the Eat Sleep Race car. To this day, I believe it is the world's fastest car. It does 31 miles an hour in the 60 foot. It'll go a 2-1 in just 60 feet from a dead stop.
Has he topped
it
out?
On only 24 volts.
Has he topped it out?
Yes and no. We're at the point now where it's like every little change we make, we're either going a little bit faster or way slower.
Mm.
So I would say we're about 98% of the way topped out. I don't think there's really much more we can get out of it, but we still try every day to get that much little.
What's the max speed on that car?
The max speed he's going is 36 miles an hour.
And how long did it take for him to reach 36 miles?
I believe that was about 80 feet.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So if he stays into it past the 60 foot,
it'll go fast.
It'll keep going.
Oh, it'll keep going.
Yeah, it'll keep going.
Oh.
So
how come you guys haven't taken it further?
Well, we haven't ran out the track farther just say for safety reasons. I think we will eventually. My plan, you know, for the kids in the outlaw class now that want to take it to the next level, that maybe don't want to get into a junior dragster or a quarter midget or anything like that, we could do 100-foot racing, or we could do 120-foot racing, and then we add in, you know, another class for these kids that want to, that have the experience and can grow into the sport. But that would be something that would have to come with experience. It's not just something where, hey, you know, Sally's going to run in that outlaw extreme class, if that's what we call it.
Yeah, maybe something like you had to have like 50 passes in the outlaw class before you could run extreme.
Yeah, like I think you would have to show us that you can handle it.
Right.
Like prove to us that you can run in the outlaw class and handle that speed before you could go, you know, to this next class of what we plan for the future.
The safety has quickly evolved in the past year, I want to say, for these cars just because of how fast that they're going.
Oh, for sure.
I know now the outlaw class requires wheelie bars. Yep. All the classes require helmets, no matter if you're stock, modified, or outlaw. So are there any other new safety precautions or requirements needed for any of these cars? Because forgot to mention, there's three different classes. Stock is nothing modified to the car, like completely stock.
Yeah.
Modified is drill batteries.
Yeah, 18 or 20 volt drill battery, and any other modification is okay, but it just must be a 18 or 20.
So then what differentiates the outlaw class?
The outlaw class is just 24 volts or more, and that's how anything goes. So as long as it's if you're running 24 volts or more, that's the class you would want to be in. It's essentially a run what you brung class.
And that is the class that has the most safety requirements.
Correct, yes.
So I mentioned helmets, wheelie bars, because these things, the torque on them, I want to say off the line, like before we were watching them pop up. And thankfully, some of the cars that were fast, especially Trev's, like you already put the wheelie bars on it before, thankfully, anything ever happened. Yeah. But what other precautions do these cars have?
Yeah, some of the other things, I mean, we're trying to implement is just more safety gear for the kids themselves, like such as long sleeves or pants. It's kind of something that gets forgotten about sometimes. We're thinking just kids in a little plastic car. But then when you see these things going down the track, these things, they're going fast. I mean, all the kids, if you're in a modified or an outlaw car, I think you should be wearing a long sleeve just in case anything was to happen. Long sleeve pants as well. I mean, I don't think anything ever would, but you never know. Nobody ever plans for an accident.
Yeah. I mean, that's the number one rule with safety. It's there.
Yeah.
For what if?
Yeah.
Right?
And we always think, well, it's like, oh, we get some parents that are like, oh, well, it's hot. No, we don't want to put my kid in a long sleeve. It's summertime. Well, do you want them to have road rash or do you want them to be hot for a couple minutes? And when you're drag racing in the summer, wearing a full fire suit, helmet, gloves, if you want to race, you can suck it up for a few minutes and put on a long sleeve.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. Any additional safety, I'm sure, can always be added at the utmost, you know, making sure these kids are safe
at the end of the day, they're kids racing. It's sometimes we forget that, you know, the dads get excited, we're building these cars, and we got to step back a little bit and remember, you know,
it's your kid.
It's not dad getting in the car. Right. So you get some people that you kind of have to remind them, you know,
it's a kid without a license.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, they're still, we have some
30 miles an hour is fast.
Yeah, it's fast.
In a tiny car.
Yeah, we have 4-year-olds going 30 miles an hour. I mean,
Man, I hope they got helmets and all the safety gear.
We have a 2.5-year-old in our modified class that is doing 17, 18 miles an hour. She is driving incredible. I mean, it's insane to see some of these kids that just the skill that they have at such a young age.
I've seen this at events, and I don't know if there's any rule about it, but some of the cars are driven by the parents on remote controls.
Yep.
And most of the cars are driven by the kids actually pressing the gas. Yeah. Is there any?
So we were always running our remote control class or our remote control cars in with the stock class, but we are trying to do away with that. We added the remote class so that the younger ones can get involved. You know, if your older brother or sister's at the track racing, we still want the little ones to be part of it as well. So that's why we added in, you know, that remote control cars can be allowed. But what our plan is to move them to a separate class. Say if, you know, we have two remote control cars there, it'll just, because it's essentially, it's the dad racing the car.
Right, I was going to say it's the parent.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, my daughter Zoe races, but I'm driving it. So when we get paired up against somebody, a child, I would say, that's actually driving the car.
Yeah. It's not fair.
No. And it feels, you know, I feel terrible when I'm the one taking out the kid. I don't want, you know, if it's different, if it's adult, you know, if you have the remote and I have the remote, then, you know, let's race. But as me, somebody that fully understands the kid, the tree, against a kid in the stock class that usually our stock is their first time out or their second time out, they don't even know what a tree is.
Right.
So they're trying to understand it. And then, you know, there's me over there just cutting the light. I can't do it. So
moving forward, are remotes not allowed? Or?
So moving forward, the remotes will be allowed, but we're going to have like a set. I think we're going to make them more like an exhibition. Like they're not going to be, you know, you're not going to battle it out for first, second or third place.
Right.
But if you're there in a remote control, we're going to run you, say, at intermission or at the start of the show, or just so you're still a part, you know, still a part of the event. Whether or you know, if we have six remote control cars there, then we could, you know,
set up a race.
Yeah, set up a little race with just those dads or moms.
So that's lighting bulbs in my head right now, because we're gonna have some things to talk about because what we're working on.
Yep. Fast Life Fest.
Fast Life Fest, September 15th, Cecil County Dragway. We've gone from doing races in backyards to barns, to now doing the first official event at a drag strip, not on the drag strip, but creating our own drag strip during a official event that has no prep drag racing for real race cars, car show, and now featuring the kids' power wheel racing. And this event is in collaboration of Eat, Sleep, Race, and Fast Kids Club, Teeterbilt Racing, and our friends Farm Truck and Asian from the 405. So it's kind of crazy how we've evolved into now, you know, like the interest has gone well beyond Oxford, Pennsylvania.
Oh, for sure.
And we've been getting, even just for the small events, private events that you've been having, been getting people driving from all over New York, New Jersey, Maryland to come to the private events. So I'm very excited and interested to see who's going to be showing up.
Yeah, me as well.
And more importantly, if anyone's watching this and wants to be involved and wants to have your kids racing at the event, the only way you could have them race at the event is to have them pre-register on the website.
Yep.
So you must pre-register before the event on fastlifefest.com. Instructions are very straightforward. There's a form to fill out. And once your kids are pre-registered, the kids are free to race. It's actually free for all kids under 10 years old to enter the event. So basically, the kids are coming in for free. They're racing for free. All you have to do is bring their car that you pre-registered. And the parents just need to buy their spectator tickets. That's actually a requirement for the registration process, right?
Yeah, correct.
So one, they have to pre-register. And then the parents have to purchase their spectator tickets to guarantee to lock in their spot, right? To
confirm their spot, because we do have limited spots with the Power Wheels racing. It's filling up so fast. I mean, we're over 100 kids already. I think this will be the biggest Power Wheels race ever.
By the time this video comes out, I'm sure dozens are going to be start registering. So if you're watching this, go to the website and see if registration is still open, because like Alex said, there is going to be a cap or a limit on the amount of kids that are racing. And man, I've been personally myself to, I think, 4 or 5 races. It's fun watching these kids race.
It is so much fun. And to think about having to put a cap on a race is absolutely crazy. It's something we never even thought of. And we never wanted to have to cap a kids race. But, I mean, soon this is going to turn into a 2-day show if we don't put a cap on it.
Yeah, so. I mean, imagine 200 kids racing. It's a good time.
Yeah, before you know it, we'll have a 2-day show.
And it's 60-foot drag racing. The kids are trapping at like 3 seconds, right?
Yeah.
Typically, like stock class is how many seconds?
Yeah, stock class is anywhere from 5 to 8 seconds.
Uh-huh.
And then our modified, I would say, is high twos. Low threes to mid threes, and then our outlaws low twos to mid twos.
Crazy.
Yeah.
low 2 second passes.
Yeah, in a little plastic car.
You want to watch low 2 second heads up drag racing passes? Come to Fast Life Fest.
Yeah, you do not want to miss it.
You do not want to miss it. It's going to be action. If you want to get a teaser of it, go to the Fast Kids Club Instagram, and you're going to see the videos, the reels.
Yeah, you'll see some of the
fastest. A lot of those videos have millions of views. I know the most popular video on there that has the most views is a video of you prepping the track. So is Fast Life Fest, or are you going to do track prep there?
I don't think we're going to, with it being a no prep drag race.
So you're going to keep it pure to the event.
Yeah, I think we're going to keep it pure to the event.
That's what's up.
We're not going to do any prep this time. We're going to change it
up. We got to start promoting that then.
Yeah. So no prep power.
Yeah, we're going to do no prep drag racing on the track for all the real cars, and we're doing no prep drag racing, no prep heads up power wheel drag racing. Exactly. That's some serious stuff, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, usually we have people bringing their own prep. This time we'll tell people no prep.
Nah, not cut it. Yeah. Keep.
Don't prep your tires either before the race. We will tackle.
Keep the pimp juice in the truck.
There will be a tech inspection at this race.
So how would you tell if a tire is prepped?
It would be really sticky.
So all you got to do is put your hand on it and be like, hey, buddy.
Yeah, this is a no prep event.
Yeah. Oh, we got to make that super clear on the website.
Yeah, we'll have people coming up with us.
Prep is not allowed. Yeah, because imagine some of these parents like, I'm going to pre-dip my tires or something.
Yeah, prepping them the night before.
Oh, man. Yeah, definitely make this clear.
I've heard some parents doing it. You know, they said, the night before, I grabbed a paintbrush and we paint the prep on the tire, get it nice and sticky. I think somebody did that before a battle at the fairgrounds because they knew we were going
to that makes sense. I mean, because there is the traction issue because of the surface of the on the indoors.
Yeah, but at least with where we're going to be at Cecil, the surface is rough. So these cars like a rough surface.
They grip.
Yeah, they grip very well. With the foam or the tire or the rubber on there, it bites in a rough surface. Our biggest issue is when we have that indoor surface, you know, it's a smooth concrete. That's where we fight traction.
So let's talk about that. A parent who's just watching this now, it's like, I'm pumped. I'm excited. I could go to Walmart or Facebook Marketplace right now and pick up a power wheel. Cool. They're going to let the kid try out the stock class. How did you learn, or where do these parents go about modifying to be able to get to the modified class or even the outlaw class? Like, what are the resources here? Like, how did you learn to modify?
Yeah, I learned a lot of the modifying was just trial and error. But I went on, there's a Facebook group page, Modified Power Wheel Group. I started on there. I searched on Facebook. Kind of learned about adding a drill battery to the car. And then, you know, like with anything with competitive drag racing, there's always people going fast, but
they're gatekeeping.
Yeah, they don't put that information out there. And it's like, how are all these people going fast? So I reached out to a few people in the Power Wheels game that really helped me out, helped me get started. And
is that something you could share so these other parents could figure out how to make their cars go fast?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was a guy, Paul Armstrong, who was a big help from Michigan, and Scott Stegmeister. He's who put me on to the first gear delete in a power wheel, which is essentially the only way to go fast in a power wheel. He told me about that, and then I just kind of took it to the next level. We did the gear delete, and then we started doing the dual motor gear delete. And then I was like, there's still so many people out there asking, you know, how do we do this? Where can we get this done? So I started putting out a few tutorial videos on YouTube on Trevor's Fast Life YouTube page. And we have some videos on there that just show you how to set up a car for the modified class and how to set up a car for the outlaw class to be competitive. Because we want competitive racing. One kid just gapping the field every time, it's not fun. We want seeing how competitive our modified class has gotten and how competitive our outlaw is becoming is just, it's a lot more fun for these kids when we have, I mean, most of these races now, we have to have a parent down there with a phone just to, I mean, we're still going off of our timing system, but we're going off of the phone in slow-mo
really?
How close these races are. I mean, our last few races were won by a bumper. a tire where it was always just whoever got the hit, it was they were just gapping the field, and that's cool once, but it gets old, especially for the kids and the parents. You know.
Yeah, that
we want it to be competitive. We want everybody to have just the same chance as everybody else.
Especially for the kids, like,
yeah,
blah blah keeps blowing the doors off. Like, I don't even want to go anymore. They're like, there's no point.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I'll put that information out there. So exactly, like, you know, we have nothing to hide. I've set up 10, I'd say 10 or 11 cars identical to my son's car. And if it doesn't run that number, then, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's usually the driver. You know, it comes with experience. You know, I'm not trying to sound rude in that way, but, you know, just this type of racing, it's just experience. We do this a lot. You know, Trevor's done this since, like I said, since he was 1 year old. We practice pretty much every day in his car. We have some people that practice once a month, and that's okay, but you're just not going to see the results as fast. You know, we practice so much. Some people think I'm crazy, but if you see him driving, I mean, it shows that he's only 5 years old, and I trust him to hop in my real car and drive it.
That's the whole reason why we're even working with you, Alex. You're very passionate about the Power Wheels racing, and I think that passion has also transferred over to the parents who have now joined the group and who are racing with their kids, because they're like, man, Alex is really into this. Like, dude, I could totally get in on this too.
Yeah.
So I do know, you know, some parents just don't have the time, just like building a real race car. I don't got the time for it, but I just want to be able to hop in it and race on the weekends.
Yeah, it can be time-consuming.
Is there an option for that?
Yeah. Yeah, I can. I build some cars for people. It depends on how fast you want to go. It just gets a little iffy with, you know, insurance liability reasons with how fast we make the car. But I build a lot of gearboxes for people. I'll do like the single motor gear deleted boxes, just because for some people for me it's easy, but for others it's a lot harder. You don't have the right tools to do it. If I could at least make, you know, the ease of making the gearbox for you, I call it like, you know, my standalone gearbox. It just drops right in, and you know, you plug it in and go. You know, it's ready to go, and you don't really have to do much to it.
So somebody could go to you and be like, hey, listen, I got a stock Corvette car right now. I want it to run in the modified class. Like, can I just drop it off to you and pick it up later?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I actually did one for our buddy Jorge on Friday. He dropped off a modified car for his daughter, or it was a stock Corvette, and I was making it a modified car for her. I actually sponsored her.
That's cool.
He's been with us since the huge support since
that Hazel's Fast Life.
No, that is Driven by Lane.
Okay.
Yeah, Driven by Lane. She is 2.5 years old. Her dad Jorge, good friend of mine. I went to school with him. He's just been supportive since day one. I mean, his daughter was a few months old, I think, when we started this, and he was there helping every time, helping set up, helping clean up, just there to support. I mean, we went out to West Virginia last year for a race, and I think his daughter wasn't even 2 years old yet, and they drove 3.5 hours out to the race with her. And I don't think she even raced. I think they just hung out and supported.
But yeah, I see him there helping prep the track. We actually just posted a video recently. It was you and him.
Oh yeah,
wiping the track
down.
He is
so into it, and I love it, because I thought I was the only crazy one that was so into it, and now seeing all these dads get into it is.
Well, I'll tell you this much: me going to a few races, I've seen familiar faces.
Yeah.
So,
and it's awesome.
It's definitely families are hooked.
Yeah, and we met a lot of awesome people through doing this sport. Just a lot of people for the same interest, same passion, and just it's fun. It's a lot of family fun. I mean, we all get competitive, but at the end of the day, we're all friends. We're all just here. We're all here for the same thing. Where our kids want to win, but we always teach our kids, you know, winning's just a bonus. We're here to have fun. If you win, that's a bonus.
But you know? What youth sport isn't competitive?
Exactly. You know, everything. Everybody wants to win, but one person's going to come home a winner. When you're going down that track, once somebody's got to lose, somebody's got to win. So
that's right.
You got to teach them how to win and lose.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the real world, you don't always win. And you're not always going to lose either.
Nobody, not every kid gets a participant trophy here?
No. No, we do not do participation trophies. We had some people disagree with that, but
I was going to say, there's going to be some people upset by that. Yeah. A lot of people are okay with that.
Yeah, our first few events that we had, we didn't do participation trophies. It weeded out a lot, I would say. And it kind of made me second guess it a little bit. I'm like, man, we're losing all these people, you know, because so-and-so didn't get an award. They're upset. And I sit and talk to my dad about it, and he's like, dude, stick to what you're doing. He said, what you're doing is right. You know, is you give everybody a participation trophy, nobody is learning anything. How are these kids going to better themselves if they just get an award for showing up?
I mean, honestly, it's drag racing, right?
Yep.
The point of doing this Power Wheels drag racing is to... There's now a mission. It was for fun before, but... Yeah. It has evolved into a new mission of inspiring the next generation of drag races, not only inspiring, growing and culturing and teaching the next generation of drag racers. And what goes along with that?
Yeah.
You said it before, there's winners and losers.
Exactly.
And there's going to be one winner.
Yeah.
So the cool thing about it now is we have really cool trophies.
Yep.
And... this is a winner-takes-all event, so there is only first-place winners for the three classes, and I'm pumped. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
We got some new tricks up our sleeve for making this look even more official than what it's looked like in previous events, and we've even stepped it up in previous events where people are like, yo, that really looks like a shrunk-down version of a real... official race show.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we're stepping it up for this event. I believe production value wise, this is guaranteed to be our best production yet. And what do you think is the future of Power Wheels drag racing? Because 3 years ago, it was six cars racing. We're about to do an event with over 100 cars. Like, what? Do you even have a vision of what the future looks like for this?
It's hard to say with how fast it's progressing. I think we've spoken about it before. I've always dreamed of being able to do a travel series. And I don't see, I kind of thought that was, you know, that would never be even an option. But now as the way things are going, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if next year we're talking about, you know, traveling and doing this racing series. I mean, like you said, We started this with no intentions for this. It was just dads having fun. But when these kids are getting this good at racing and they can, you know, use it in the future for another style of racing, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer.
And your son is actually a testament to transitioning into a different style of racing and being successful at it, because he's now a quarter midget racer who has won many races, right? What do you call those feature wins?
Yeah, so he has 8 feature wins, and we're halfway through the year already.
How many races has he
competed in? 16 races, and he's placed in all 15
and won half
and
of
won
them.
First place in all in 8 of them, so the other 7 were second or third places.
I think you were telling me about this, like, age doesn't really matter in this type of racing. It's experience, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
And for him, he didn't have experience.
Yeah. Yeah. He had no experience with dirt racing at all. He has experience being behind the wheel of a fast car.
Right.
And he understands gas and brake, which is a huge thing. That's really the biggest thing for these kids, is understanding how a brake and a gas pedal works. I mean, to us, it's common sense. We're adults, you know, but trying to teach a 3, 4, 5-year-old throttle control, it's not really something you can teach. I mean, yeah, you can teach it, but it's practice. The kids, they have to practice. You can't just you just do this and we're done. They learned it. You tell them. Now, you can tell them all you want, but they have to go out there and practice seat time.
So did Trevor make waves when he started competing in these events? Or like, who is this kid?
Yeah. He's put a good name out for himself so far. I mean, we've met so many people from just the start of this year. I mean, we were I mean, you could say I had nobody, you know, in this sport. I knew nothing about dirt racing. And we came in, we bought a car that was ready to go. And
we were talking that Power Wheels drag racing is supposed to be the training grounds for future drag racers. How did you get into dirt racing?
Yeah, dirt. It was like we were weighing out options. Our plan was always, I'm going to get him into a junior dragster. Like, I always dreamed, I thought that would be so cool to have my son into a junior dragster. I bought one a few years back before we even took this Power Wheels program to where it is today.
Right.
And then I started pricing out options and all that. And to be competitive in junior dragsters, I mean, it is an insane amount of money. I mean, any type of racing is expensive, but I just... there's no way I could afford to be competitive in a junior dragster. And if we're going to race, I like to give it my all. And I want my son to be competitive, or at least, you know, I want him to have a shot. We're not going to go out there with just giving it 50%. We're going to come out swinging. And I just didn't feel like we could.
So is racing quarter midgets more affordable than junior dragsters?
Definitely. Definitely more affordable. We got his car for under $2,000 and we put couple hundred bucks in maintenance in it this year, and that's it. And I have about nothing into it compared. I mean, a junior dragster, we're talking a couple $1,000s just for a motor. And, you know, the kids are constantly progressing in the junior dragster. If you're running this motor one weekend, now they want to go faster. Now you got to build them another motor. It's just, you have to have very deep pockets for junior dragsters. They're super cool. I love them, but it's just...
I'm very curious, though, because Trevor's so good at Power Wheels drag racing. I'm very curious on how good he could be in junior dragster.
Yeah. He would probably be a killer on the tree in a junior.
Alex, you might live with Summer Greg here. He could be the future John Forrest, future Top Fuel driver here.
Hey, we can do both. We can do dirt and drag.
I'd love to just see him get behind the wheel of junior dragster, just see what he does.
I love to too. I'm hoping somebody will meet someone one day that will allow him to hop in his car. And
that's what happened to the quarter midget, right?
Yeah, when we did a driver's experience.
You met somebody who was like jumping this car.
Yeah, because I'm like, it's my kid, so it's easy for me to say I would trust him in anything behind the wheel. But if somebody knows him and sees him drive, I don't see why they wouldn't let him. You know, he can wheel.
Hey, well, that's another thing that we're going to mention here at Fast Life Fest. Yeah. We're going to have junior dragster, no prep, heads up drag racing.
Yeah.
So hopefully Trevor's pretty well known at this point for in the Power Wheel scene. Maybe one of these parents will let him give it a crack.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
So we could talk about the no prep drag racing for the real cars that's going down at this event, because the Power Wheel racing has three classes. On the real size drag strip, we're going to have the no prep drag racing that has several classes, including stick shift, H pattern, small tire, and
run what you brung
outlaw class, rear wheel drive, all wheel drive, daily driver, Test and tune
fun run,
and junior dragsters. But the only difference here is the junior dragsters are bracket racing, not heads up.
Yep.
All the other classes are heads up. Some of the classes are eighth mile. Some of them are quarter mile. Everything is no time. So all those classes are also winner takes all. So the way that those classes work is they have to buy a tech card. And we recommend everyone to buy the tech cards on the website, fastlifefest.com. And then all the competing classes, basically every class except the test and tune, has a buy-in. So what's happening with that buy-in is, let's use the daily driver class as an example. Every driver has to pay $100 buy-in when they tech their car. And what happens with that buy-in is, if there's 20 cars competing, that means there's a $2,000 pot, because every car put in $100. That $2,000 pot, whoever wins that class, that money's theirs.
Yeah.
It's winner takes all. And, you know, this is going to be our first event ever. we're doing this shooting from the hip because we, from the day we agreed, and thank you, Jim Halsey, for agreeing to let this event happen. It's the first ever no prep drag race happening at Cecil County Drag Race in the history of the track. Thank you, Jim, for trusting us and believing in us to make this event happen. But we only had 6 weeks to do it.
Yeah.
And I haven't felt that much anxiety saying yes or no to Jim, because it was several months of, you know, pitching the idea to him. And when he finally said yes, there was only 6 weeks left.
I could feel it through the phone when we talked. I'm like, oh.
Do we do it?
6 weeks.
Do we do it?
I'm like, we could do it.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
We're doing it. We're in it. We're doing it. We're putting full throttle into it. And man, like, it's kind of crazy. Like, from today, there's a little less than 4 weeks left.
It's crazy. I was thinking of it this morning. I said, we are just under 4 weeks away already.
But you know what's crazy? We have just about 4 weeks to go, and you already have over 100 kids registered. Yeah.
Insane.
Awesome. No, I love it. I love it. I love the enthusiasm from all the parents. We had a Cars and Coffee here this weekend, and I met a few parents who introduced themselves.
Okay.
And they're like, hey, my son's never done it before. My daughter's never done it before, but we're doing it.
That's
awesome. I bought a car.
I love
we're
that.
Signing up. Yeah, I was like, yes. Yeah. So I was like, yo, get ready to have a good time, because I've done this a lot, and these kids are...
They're the future of drag racing.
Yeah.
You know, it's I've had so many just emails and messages recently of just new parents that are bringing their kids out, and I'm just so excited to see a lot of new faces. There's going to at least half the people registered so far are all new faces, which is incredible. Because usually when we get new faces, 90% of those people come back and they keep racing with us. You know, those couple percent is usually just because the kid maybe didn't like it. You know, because it isn't for everybody.
It's not for everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. But bring your kid out there and at least give them the opportunity to try it. That's like, we do test and tunes, you know, and even if you don't have a car, reach out to me. I can bring a car, and we can let your kid try it out before you go make that investment to see if they like it.
So modifying power wheels is one thing. You went from stock to modified to an outlaw car. You recently built kind of a Frankenstein. So the obvious, I don't think the green Porsche could compete in any of the classes.
No, it couldn't. Just because it having the gas motor, we don't allow any gas motors or any brushless motors, or I mean, essentially any live axles. It must be a Power Wheels gearbox or Power Wheels style gearbox. It doesn't have to be an actual Power Wheel brand, but as long as it, you know, it could be Kid Tracks, it could be, you know, an Amazon gearbox. But as long as it's a plastic gearbox housing, anything else can go.
So why the green Porsche? Because that was a go-kart chassis with a Power Wheel body that you cut out of a Power Wheel and a gas. It was a motor from a power washer.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, how and why?
Well, Trevor, you know, with his love for driving, he's always... you know, when I'm working at the house, he's wanting to ride a Power Wheel around the yard. And I just got so tired of him burning up all of my drill batteries. It wasn't his fault. You know, he just wants to keep driving. And
he's driving for hours.
He's driving. Dad, you know, my battery's dead. I'm like, all right, you know, here's another battery. And the next thing you know, it's lunchtime and he already smoked all our batteries for the day. And he wants to keep going. So I'm like, got to figure something out.
This kid's a driver.
Yeah, I bought him a four-wheeler. I thought that would please it. Fill it with gas. Ride. Well, it's just not the same as having a body on there. It doesn't look like a car.
Oh, like an ATV.
Yeah, he has that, but he's like, it's not as cool because it doesn't look like a car. So, you know, then I got the go-kart for him and put the Power Wheel body on there. And then he was so happy. He's like, I got my car back. And I can drive it all day. And I just start it up, fill it up with gas, and he can go all day long. You know,
that thing lasts for a long time.
Yeah, it'll last for a while. The only time he usually needs me is when the chain pops off or something like that. But
dang, he drives that thing till the wheels fall off.
Yeah, seriously.
Wow. But that, was that the craziest thing that you put together in your garage? If it's not, what is?
I have to think about that. I would have to say along the lines of the green Porsche or just Trevor's Eat Sleep race car, with it just being how fast it goes. I've built some cool cars, but I mean nothing too crazy. I think those are definitely the best.
You actually did build something cool. That's not a car. It was a power lift.
Oh yeah,
for a car.
Yeah, the mini kids car lift.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that went viral on social media too.
Yeah,
because you built, you basically took a bend pack style lift and built it to scale for a Power Wheels car, that enough that it was electric, right?
Yep. Yeah, it was electric. It works exactly, you know, by a remote or you know, you hit the post on the side of the lift just like a real lift.
And put the power wheel on it, it raises the car.
Yep.
And Trevor was under it pretending like he was working on something.
Yeah,
able to
work on it, yeah.
Kind of crazy.
I asked him, you know, one year, I said, "What do you want for Christmas, buddy?" He's like, "I want a lift just like yours, Dad." And I'm like, "All right, I'll get you a lift." This was a couple months before Christmas, and you know, here we are 2 weeks before Christmas.
Has anyone built one before you that you're like, "All right, I could just copy"?
Not that I know of. I've saw some other ones out there, but I don't know if they were built before or after I had built the one that I built for Trevor. I literally, if you look at it, you can see it's identical to the lift in my garage. I mean, it's even the same color. I just sat out there and just looked at it and just pretty much made a 1/8 scale of it.
I got a fun fact about those lifts because of that video going viral. You got a DM. I don't even know if we're allowed to mention who it is, but a celebrity DM'd you and actually ended up ordering one.
Yep.
But the crazy part is, they ordered it, paid for it, and stopped responding to you.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, you can't be mad because you got paid.
Yeah.
But you're like, this is the lift.
I
think they ordered two lifts.
Yeah, they ordered two. And they finally just shipped out.
But you were so concerned because you're like, man, they paid for it, but these things take up a lot of room. Like, it's taking up a whole bay.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what to do with them. I said, because
they paid for them.
Yeah, they paid for them, but I can't just give them to somebody because the second, or you know, they're gone, then
they're not responding.
Yeah, then they're gonna want them.
Could you say who bought them?
Yeah, it was Chief Keef,
the rapper. Yep. Chief Keef.
Yeah, the rapper Chief Keef reached out to me. He wanted one of those lifts for.
I remember you screenshotted the DM. You're like, first you call me. You're like, you won't believe who just DM'd me to order a lift.
Yeah, he messaged,
Chief Keef. I'm like, shut up,
he messaged
Alex.
Me and he said, I want one of them cranes. And I said, I said, a crane? I was kind of confused at first. And then he was
You should DM him right now and invite him to Fast Life. Yes.
Yeah, I could. Yeah.
He's got a crazy collection of Power Wheels.
Yeah, he's got an insane...
He has a house full of them.
Insane amount of Power Wheels.
I'm not lying about that because he's... After he ordered the lift, sent Alex a video.
The video of his basement is insane.
He just was walking around the house... There were Power Wheels by the fridge, by the stove. Like you had to step over the amount of Power Wheels that he had, and he had four seaters.
It was like walking in a kid's playroom that just dumped Legos on the ground, but it was just they dumped Power Wheels in there.
He had every single one that came out.
Everyone, you know, four seaters, like you said. Yeah. He had. I mean, it was insane. It would be cool to have him there.
I'd DM him.
Yeah, I will. I even built a
Fast Life Fest with a parents box sheet. Yeah. I would like that. That'd be cool.
We could possibly even get I'm sure you know Ross Smith and Gangster Granny, because I built what Power Wheel for Ross and
no way.
Yeah, and Sam, the one of the midgets that was in Jackass.
No way.
Yeah, he's a good buddy of Ross. So,
did they use it on one of their videos?
Yeah, they did Power Wheel waxing with it.
I need to see this. How come you didn't send that to me?
I didn't.
No.
I thought I did.
That's cool.
Yeah, they got wax strips all over Ross.
Oh, that's crazy.
Sam's driving the driving
the
power.
I can't repost that. We can't repost that on the Fast Kids page. No.
It was crazy.
That's funny.
I thought when he was buying it, I had no idea what his intentions were with it. He was like, oh, we're just going to have, you know, one of our friends race against like some super cars up here in Ohio, I believe. I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, send me some video. And then a few weeks go by and I get a video of them doing power wheel waxing. Definitely the strangest thing I've ever seen. Right.
Maybe I don't need to see that.
But these guys are crazy.
I mean, you and Trevor have, of sorts, turned into celebrities yourselves. Yeah. I mean, you have over 100 million views between the two of you. People have seen your face and Trevor's face. And you guys actually have worked several times and have been on a YouTube channel of somebody super famous, right?
Yeah, Stephen Scherer.
I didn't know who that was at first, but I looked on his page. He had like how many million subscribers?
Yeah, I think he has 13 or 14 million subscribers now.
Blew my mind.
Yeah, it was.
And he hit you guys up and said he wanted to do an episode.
Yeah, he wanted to do a video with us. And I was like, oh my gosh, this, you know, my son was a big fan.
He actually already watched this guy, Steven, right?
Yeah, he doesn't really watch him as much now. It was a lot more when he was younger. But he watched him and he was always loved watching his videos. And he had reached out and I said, this would be pretty cool to surprise Trevor with this.
That's wild. Just imagine, like, you're a kid who watches this person on YouTube, and then they hit you up, like, hey, can you be on my channel?
Yeah. And then he shows up to my house in a Lamborghini. And picks my son up. You know, I'm like, I've never even driven in a Lamborghini. And here we go, my four-year-old driving down the road in a Lamborghini. Like, he's got the life.
What? That's crazy. But then you guys ended up trailering the cars to his race, and you actually did like a race against him or something.
Yeah. So the first time they came out to our place, we got to meet them, get to know them a little bit. And then, our second time we met up with them, they have a mansion in PA that we went to, did some filming there. And Trevor got to go in their house and do a bunch of challenges with Steven, which was, it was a really cool experience for him. It's definitely something
I can't imagine. Like, Trevor had to go to school. Like, I was.
Yeah, like
at Stephen Scherer's house.
Like, his teacher, when the video was released, they played it in the auditorium at school.
No way.
He was like the coolest kid at school. Like,
no way.
Everybody knows Trevor. We go there for like parent teacher conferences, and they're like, You must be Trevor's dad. And I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh my God.
I'm telling you, bro. Yeah. Exactly what I just told you. Like, you have hundreds of millions of views. People know who you are. Yeah. So cool. Very cool.
We've had people we were at his preschool. I walked into his preschool and the lady turned around and she said, oh my God. I was like, what? She said, I just put it all together. And I was kind of confused. I had no idea what she was talking about. She said, these people test their power wheels by my house all the time. And it's you.
Yeah.
She was like, I had to have known it was Trevor. I didn't even put two and two together until I saw you. And then now I realized, she was like, it's you and your son that are down by my house lighting the road on fire every day. I'm like, yeah, that's us.
Like, is that a good or a bad
thing?
Yeah,
I'm like, that's one of his teachers. So I was like, yeah, I didn't know if that was... But they loved it.
Hey,
man,
fame goes both ways.
Yeah, I mean, a few weeks after that, I brought his car to school for show and tell. So
the teacher was cool with
that? Yeah, the teacher was cool. Did
she give you a little warning, no fire over here?
Yeah.
Yeah, no pimp juice with a lighter, okay? Yeah. Although it would be cool. That would have went viral.
Yeah, that would have been crazy.
Track prep out of school.
Yeah, pre-school.
Test passes. Maybe we could still make that happen.
Yeah, we probably could.
Oh, man. Super cool, dude. Yeah. It's super cool being there from the beginning.
Yeah, sure.
And just watching you evolve. And I know this is only the start of what's bound to just be in the future. I mean,
For sure.
None of us have a clear vision of where this is going to go. We just know it's well beyond New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
We're very thankful to have your support and Eat, Sleep, Race, Fast Kids Club. You guys have supported us since day one.
You know what? And that's exactly the reason why I DM'd you guys from the beginning. I just saw this going hand in hand. Like, dude, Fast Kids Club is exactly, you guys represent Fast Kids Club. Like, Trevor is a fast kid.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, what is a better name than Fast Kids Club? I couldn't possibly think of any other name than Fast Kids Club.
The mis The misinterpretation that we get a lot is, can my kid sign up for the club? You know, but I actually got the name. It was inspired by another clothing brand. I think it's actually owned by Jay-Z right now. I think he bought it. The Billionaire Boys Club.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, how many people are billionaires? They're not signing up to be part of this club, right? So I actually had one of those shirts in college. So coming up with the name for this, I was like, Fast Kids Club. That sounds really cool. Like, yeah. It's not actually a real club. It's a brand.
Yeah.
So that's always the definition that I got to explain to people. Like, oh, we're a merchandise brand. You know, we actually make children's books. If you haven't seen them yet. And the most reaction, like, that ABC book? That's you guys?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
that is the Fast Kids Club. So the way you could sign your kid up, get some merchandise, have them wear it, and everybody else will, you know, other kids who are Fast Kids themselves, like, oh, you're part of the club.
Yeah.
That's your way to get in.
Oh, for sure.
And now if you want to step it up, wear your Fast Kids merch to Fast Life Fest and get in one of these Power Wheels and let's rock.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Oh, man. Actually, you know what? One question that we didn't get into, I mentioned it in the beginning, Teeterbilt used to be a mechanic shop.
Yep.
You actually have a right-hand drive Civic and a left-hand drive Civic that you race. Mm-hmm. One's more of a race car than the other is, right? So you're a car guy at heart.
Yeah. Big car guy. Honda guy.
Big Honda guy.
Yeah.
Always been a Honda guy.
Yeah, always been a Honda guy. I mean, I love V8s and I love muscle cars, but I mean, Hondas, that's my roots.
Was your dad into Hondas?
No.
Is that where this started from?
That's the craziest thing. My dad was not a Honda guy at all. My dad's a
But was your dad a car guy?
Yeah, my dad's a big car guy.
Okay.
But I grew up, you know, my neighbors, they all had Hondas. My one neighbor had a CRX. My other neighbor, growing up, had a hatchback. The other neighbor had a coupe. I'm like, I need one of these. These cars are so cool. You know, my dad always like, no, you don't
want
a
Honda.
Where'd
you live back then? Was that Pennsylvania?
Yeah, it was Pennsylvania still. Yeah, it was. It's actually 10 minutes away from where I live
now.
Oh,
no way.
Yeah.
I really like, you know, seeing the it's generations continuing, right? Was your dad a mechanic?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So the shop I worked at before I, you know, worked at out of mine was my father's in Westchester.
Okay.
It was actually my grandfather started it in 55.
Whoa.
And then my dad took over. And then I was working with my dad and my grandfather, which was pretty cool. It was three generations of Teeters under one building. So it was really cool.
So it started with your grandfather, who was a mechanic.
Yep.
Then, so at one point, the three of you guys were in the same building wrenching?
Yeah. Yeah, we were all wrenching.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, we'd have lunch together every day, and it was cool.
Good. Man, what a dynamic.
Yeah. Good times. Good memories.
So, passing down to Alex, obviously, the love for cars. Did that naturally just happen? Did you force him to be in the garage with you, or did he stray to the garage because you were in there?
Yeah, he was always just in the garage with me, you know. And
so he just wanted to hang out with Dad.
Yeah. Yep.
As he picked up some tools himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So some of these oil changes, the people come to the shop, they don't know if it's done by you or Trev.
Yeah. Exactly.
My 4-year-old changed your oil. Like, well, actually, he did a really good job.
Yeah, he did good.
That's great, man. So you've been teaching your son how to wrench?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I tell him, you know, I wouldn't force anything on him. And whatever he wants to do, I'm just there to support, you know. And I just try to expose him to every opportunity possible.
Definitely sounds like something that's related to cars and racing is in his future. He's got it in his blood.
Yeah.
And
I always say, I'm like, it's in his blood. He was, you know, he's a racetrack baby, so. He was at the racetrack 3 weeks old at Honda Day.
You guys literally lived 10 minutes away from the racetrack, from drag strip, Cecil County Dragway. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of meant to be.
Yeah.
So, man, what feeling do you have knowing, like, you're actually from racing at Cecil County Dragway for how many years?
I started racing there in 2014, I want to say, 2015. I think 2014, I made my first pass down Cecil.
So, you know, like making your first pass at that track to now we're 3 weeks away from you're going to be hosting your own event at the track.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's a good feeling.
That's a full circle feeling right there.
It is for sure. And especially having my own child racing at yeah, the event.
It's, at it's, your event.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's
it's,
cool,
it's,
man.
It's awesome.
Super cool.
It's a very proud dad moment, that's for sure.
And you've had many proud dad moments thus far, and you're only 4 or 5 years into this.
Yeah, I've had a lot. Yeah, I wouldn't regret anything. You know, all the experiences we've had, and I'm very thankful for everything.
Cooler part is all this is documented too, right? This is kind of like a Sean White or Kobe Bryant story, like when he's a professional driver, because I see this happening down the road. All this is getting played back. Yeah.
And it's like some of the stuff we do so many cool things. I forget sometimes some of the things we do. Trevor will remind me. You know, he's like, hey, Dad, I'm like, oh, I forgot we were doing that.
I'm super pumped of the upcoming event. I'm super pumped of the future of what can potentially this can grow into for Fast Life Fest. And we got to give a special shout out, because this event would not be possible without the partnership of Farm Truck and Asian from the 405. That relationship is very cool and very organic. I met Asian at PRI maybe 6 years ago. Okay. And the same reason of why I met him is the same reason we're now doing business together. It's because when he was walking down the aisle, I happened to call his name, and him having the personality that he has, he talked to me like he knew me for 5 years. And just knowing that, you know, shook his hand there. And every time we would see them at the show, he was just as nice as he was the first time around, just as friendly. And I see how friendly he is to everybody. This is how, like, I guess him and Farm Truck have grown the following that they have and the amount of fans that they have, just because they're really cool, down-to-earth people. They keep it real. Yeah, they're from OKC. They got the accent. They live the life. They got the farm truck that's literally, like, you know, like, these guys are, they're not new to this or true to this, and they're homegrown, and they're about that life, which is awesome.
They're super humble.
And it was just ironic that you ran into them and met them at an event at Maple Grove.
Yeah, last year.
Not knowing that I already knew them.
No.
And them not knowing that you knew me.
Yeah. He said, wait, how do you know Brian?
And they didn't even put two and two together that when they saw Trevor in the Eat Sleep race car, like, wait.
He like said, we talked for a while, and then we were walking around, and then we came back, we were talking more, and then he just randomly stops and literally he goes, how do you know Brian? And we got talking. I'm like, you know, just the whole import world and the power wheels, and you know, that's we just hit it off. I mean, he was a, like you said, he's a super nice guy. I mean, when we talked at the event, he wasn't rushing us out of there. He had a million things going on, and he sat there and talked to me like, you know, like he knew me forever.
And I think it was then, or maybe a DM later, where he's like, dude, if there's any future of this power wheel stuff, I want to be involved.
Yep.
And man, he put that, he manifested that.
And he even said, you know, he was like, anything you need from us, you know, with traction from Pimp Juice, he's been supporting us since day one with that as well. Any prep we need, I mean, he's right there with it. He's always asking me if the kids need any more. And if they do, I mean, it's at my door in a day.
And we ended up doing a podcast with him at the most recent PRI. And crazy, a couple months later, we're partners in a new event, the Teeterbilt Eat Sleep Race and Farm Truck and Asian, and we're making this happen in a couple weeks. I think we got some work to do. Yeah,
we do.
So with that being said, appreciate everybody who just tuned into this episode of the podcast. If you like this episode, please like, comment, subscribe, share it. Share it on your social media. Text anybody.
Share it everywhere.
Yeah, share it everywhere. Appreciate you guys. If you want to follow Alex on social media or your Instagram, what's your handle?
Instagram's at Teeterbilt, or at Trevor's Fast Life. And then a lot of our tutorial stuff is on YouTube at Trevor's Fast Life.
And I'm at Brian ESR on Instagram. Please subscribe to the channel. Appreciate you guys. And we hope to see you at Fast Life Fest. Get your tickets, fastlifefest.com. September 15th, Cecil County Dragway. There's only one place to be that day. It's at Cecil County Dragway in Maryland.
You do not want to miss it.
I can't say it any better. You don't want to miss it. Fastlifefest.com.